Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
So great to be with you today. We are in our series entitled Thoughts, and we want to extract something from the Word of the Lord that I believe is going to be a blessing to you today. I am in the 14th chapter of the book of John and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. I want to pull back the veil and talk about the peace of God for just a moment this morning, because I believe that the peace of God has direct influence on your thoughts, and that your thought life and how that transfers into how you walk and how you live is directly connected to the peace of God. And so it's difficult to dismantle your thoughts from the peace of God, because we live in a culture and in a world where there is enormous turmoil. They are looking for peace. They are looking for someone to orchestrate an agreement or empower them. But peace only comes from the Prince of Peace. And if you have the peace of God in your life, you can walk through any storm, any tragedy, any struggle with confidence and assurance in the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me today? The reason we invite you to stand is not only to honor the Word of God in this moment, but everything that has transpired in this service to this point brings us to a cataclysmic moment where I believe something is going to shift in your life. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27 is what we want to target. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And it's critical that you arrest that scripture and apply it to your heart. Not as the world gives. Because there's an element of peace that can come from the world. If your bank account is full and your blood test comes out normal and everything is in order in your life, but we live in a fallen world and we live in a world that darkness is rampant, but we are the light of the world because Jesus is within us. And so we are confronted and we face struggles and temptations and apprehensions and fear every day of our life. And we need the peace that only Jesus can give, because some people are tormented in their thoughts. Their thoughts are chaotic. So he says, my peace I give unto you and leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We need the peace of God in our lives, because the peace of God and our thoughts have a direct correlation, because our thoughts create images. And the image that you create in your thinking by the thoughts that you have, and thoughts come by what you think upon, what you allow to have access into your consideration. What are you thinking about? Are you moved by the structure of news media that informs you minute by minute of what's happening in our world? To the degree that you believe and allow fear to attach itself to your life, or anxiety, and all of the sudden you start thinking, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to have enough. How am I going to get through? What's going to happen to me when I die? What's going to happen to my kids? And so your life is in turmoil and chaos. But if you receive the peace that Jesus can leave and you meditate upon the Word of God, then the chaotic structure of thoughts and images are eradicated by the power of His Word. And so you create images of great things are going to happen in my life today. I'm going to walk in strength today. I'm going to see God work in my life today. I am secure. He is my Lord and my Master. He will bless me. He will provide for me. He is my healer. He is the strength of my life. He is my refuge and my hiding place. Where there is no peace, there is fatigue. There is fear. There is anxiety. There is doubt. When there is no peace in your life, then you are blinded to the blessings that God brings in your life. Your conversation becomes sour because your conversation reveals what you're thinking about and the images that create imaginations that create strongholds. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." He is the author of peace. And so when we allow something else to interfere and there is no peace, then we see the thorns of life instead of the roses. We're in a daze about our future. Our motivation is drained, and we lose the desire to pursue the presence of God when there is no peace. And the Lord was very clear in John chapter 20, and I want to and have selected three specific verses out of John chapter 20 where he is very clear. After his resurrection, the disciples are still in a turmoil. They're still overwhelmed. Maybe they're worrying, and the reality that he's going to go away and send the comforter, and they don't have all the answers. And when you don't have all the answers, you need a great God. When you don't know what you're going to face, you need a God that knows tomorrow better than you can remember yesterday. I'm in the 20th chapter of John in verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." Already, Jesus has not ascended yet. And the church is already afraid because of the antagonism, because of the words that are being spoke. We now have got a right in this nation to say whatever we want about people we don't like. And so now, if you're a Christian, you have a mental illness. I've come to declare to you, you either stand against the onslaught and the verbal bombast of people that know nothing about our Jesus, or you cower in fear. And they were afraid, and they had closed the doors and assembled themselves. And then came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, "Peace, be still unto you." In verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." There is a progression of what he is trying to communicate to them. They are fearful about verbal accusations and the possibility of their demise. And so Jesus shows up and says, "Peace." He has another conversation and says to them, because now peace becomes a foundation upon which you go out into the world and accomplish the will of God. You will never accomplish your destiny if you're afraid. You will never take a risk, and you will never reach for the changing, transforming power of Jesus if you don't have peace. Then he says in verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whomsoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." He says again in verse 26, drop down to it quickly. After 8 days again, sometimes we need another touch of Jesus. And until we embrace the power of his peace, his word does not register. It does not have the influence that it needs if we don't have the peace of God, because the chaotic, turmoilous life that you live, allowing what's happening in the world to affect you, you will find yourself retreating from the purpose of God. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. I love it. Jesus knows exactly when to show up. When you're apprehensive, when you're fearful, if you will just realize that he is with you. The doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, this is the third time in 8 days that he will need to declare to these disciples that, by the way, will turn the world upside down. In just a few days, the Holy Spirit will come, and he knows that it's critical what he says to them. Listen to me very carefully. He does not lay out a plan.
for their success. He does not give them a motivational gift test. He simply says, peace. He knows the power of peace. He's calmed the storm that he was in by saying to the elements that he had authority over, peace, be still. And he says to the tumultuous disciples who are still in turmoil, peace be unto you. Not only that, there are a number of scriptures. There are over 450 scriptures that I could share with you this morning that are directly related to the peace of God. But God said in Psalms 29 and verse 11 that the Lord shall bless his people with peace. And then one of my favorite scriptures in Psalms 119 and verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law. When you love the word of God, you will have peace. But he adds something to it, and nothing shall offend them. If you're offended today, can I challenge you that your peace is probably a quart low? Because when you get into the peace of God, it doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what is happening around me. I have the peace of God, and the peace of God will carry me through even though things around me are in absolute constant upheaval. Peace is the compass upon which your life is based. What you think about can either bring mental chaos or peace or tranquility. Can I tell you that peace is the igniter of healthy spiritual thoughts? Because when you know the Prince of Peace, peace means to be safe in mind and body. It means to be happy. The church could use a little more of that. We're so concerned about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. I was in line behind an individual in the grocery store one day, and their bill was $66.66, and they freaked out. I said, here, let me charge some Tic Tacs on there so you don't have to be worried about you're going to hell. The reason that we are upset about end time events is because we haven't connected with the peace of God. I tell you, yes, the devil's on the move, but he doesn't have the authority and the power to manipulate my life. I am blessed and cannot be cursed. Yes, the Antichrist is probably alive somewhere. Yes, Jesus is coming someday. Yes, things are in absolute turmoil, but the Prince of Peace is still the ruler of the universe. He still controls the rising and the setting of the sun. He monitors your heartbeat. He watches everything that's happening in your life. He knows if you trust him, and if you trust him, he will give you the peace that you need to rest at night and not be concerned or apprehensive and have to take Tums and Pepto-Bismol and all of the money that we spend every year because we do not tap into the enormity of the peace of God that gives us significance. Let me, in the next few minutes, take you back in the Word of God to the first place that God introduced himself as Jehovah Shalom. In the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, the Bible says in verse 1 that Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And because of their continual rebellion against God, the hedge of protection around their life was broken. And the Midianites and the Amalekites came against them. Midian means distress, confusion. Amalekites, they bring an element to the table where now they are prevailing, and they mean discord and contention. And now there is a pattern that's happening in Israel's life. And I noticed in the third verse that Midian and Amalekite came up to take everything that Israel had in their possession. And the Bible says, after Israel had sown, the Amalekites came. Can I tell you? That after you give, discord tries to come into your life. Thoughts try to invade the quarters of your thinking, that God won't help you, God's not for you. The moment you lay your heart on the altar in worship, that's when that Midianite spirit comes to create conflict. Is God really real? Is he really going to help you? Is he really for you? And it is in that moment that we discover that the Amalekites and the Midianites consistently, it's their annual conference to come up against Israel and rob them and steal them of what God has blessed them with. Israel is at the place where they are accustomed to losing. They are accustomed to being in captivity. They may change their heart periodically, but you see, the first sign of an abuser is isolation. And the devil wants to pick you out of the crowd and make you believe that you're the only one that has ever dealt with what you're dealing with, that you're the only one that's ever had to face what you're facing, that you're the only one that's ever lost a job or had this diagnosis or struggled with their children. He knows that if you're defeated in your thoughts and in your thinking and in your imaginations, that you will not have the strength to fight. Verse 6 of Judges chapter 6 says, "For Israel was greatly distressed." They were distraught. They were defeated in their mentality. Fear and anxiety ruled them. They were feeble and felt fatigued. And the Lord sent a prophet to them. God will send you a word, my friend, to declare his power and his greatness and cause you to remember how he delivered you. And that prophet came and said, in the stead of God, "Do you not know that the Lord your God has delivered you from the oppression and the slavery of Egypt? Do you not know that he has freed you and drove out your enemies? You may be in a strange place. You may be facing something today that you've never faced, but God wants to remind you that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he is the Lord God and he changes not, that he has not diminished in his ability or his power to help you or heal you or strengthen you." And he culminates this message from the prophet and says, "But I am the Lord your God." Israel had a slave mentality. They continued to sin. And when we continue to sin, the only way we can overcome sin is to know that the God that created the heavens and the earth, that plowed away through the corridors of hell for the devil's demise and for your victory, is with you. You may not know the next step. You may not know the plan. You may not know the entirety of your future. But if you can know that the Lord God Almighty is with you, then you can overcome. You can make it through your storm. You can make it through your struggle. The Lord reminds them that he is their liberty. He is their freedom. He is their hope. He is their refuge. He is their hiding place. He is their help, that he will not leave them, that his eye is upon them, that he has released an angelic host to protect you, that he will be a sure foundation for you, that you don't have to be troubled, you don't have to be fearful, you don't have to be anxious, you don't have to worry, because God says, "I, the Lord your God, am with you." Jesus said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." You say, "But I really messed up." You don't think that Jesus didn't know that. You don't think that his power and the blood that he shed upon Calvary and the grace that he released that is available to you and the peace he said, "I leave with you," is not in its significance more powerful and enormous than your problem, than your sin, than your struggle. I tell you today that God is greater than anything that you face. Internal struggles, internal failures, internal fractures and dysfunctions in your life, he's greater than that. Bible tells us that then an angel came to where Gideon was hiding. Gideon found himself hiding by an oak tree behind a well, threshing wheat, hoping that Amalekites and the Midianites would not find him, just threshing out a few grains so that his family could eat. He is demoralized in his thinking. He has taken upon himself a slave mentality, and yet his name means warrior. Can I tell you that God has raised you up out of the ashes of obscurity, that he has broken the power of sin and habitual degradation off of your life, and he looks at you today and calls you true, holy, righteous, brave, courageous, blessed, peaceful. But we have to receive it. And Gideon, this mighty man of God, needed to be reminded. He was afraid that he would lose what he had. He had seen this cycle in his life before. The minute Israel sows, then the enemy comes to try to take. So if the enemy's going to take and steal, why do I give? Why do I worship? Why do I pray if nothing changes? And much of the church has embraced that mentality because of what they're thinking. Who am I? Pastor, you can declare those things. You see miracles happen in your meetings, but you're called. Can I tell you that you are no less called? Can I tell you that you are the called of God? You are the righteousness of God, and you are called to a world to be a bridge builder. You are called with the ministry of reconciliation. You have value in your life. And the enemy knows if he can rob your peace, that he will hinder you and restrict you from the divine destiny that God has purposed for you to have influence and impact, and your life can count. The Bible says that he was by an oak tree. But then I read it in a different translation, and all of the sudden something appeared, and it translates that oak tree to a terebinth. And I said, God, what is that? It was a tree that when the resin was extracted from that tree, they made turpentine. And it dawned upon me. He found his resting place by a significant tree that was created to dilute and thin anything it touched. God created Gideon as a mighty warrior, but he kept hiding in fear. And he came to this oak tree, this tree that its resin would create a substance that would dilute and thin anything that it touched. And he found an element of peace there, but not his purpose. That oak tree was considered by many in the Middle East to be a holy tree. Maybe he was leaning with the influence of the world. Maybe there are elements of the world that can really help me because I'm in this cycle and I'm stuck in this place where I feel like, God, where are you? Even though a prophet of the Lord has come and given him a word, now an angel is sent by God. And that angel comes and declares again, Gideon, the Lord is with you, O brave man. But he was not brave at all, but he was designed to be brave. He was designed to be a warrior. He had no idea how his life would have influence and bring great victory in a nation that was called of God, that God had his eye upon, that was wallowing in sin. Gideon had no idea how much influence one man could make. And so God has to deal with his thoughts. He has to bring him a word from God that will bring peace, because when there's peace, you will fulfill your purpose. And the angel says to him, you're a warrior, you're a mighty man of God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues. When the peace of God is on you. I stood in that service Sunday morning in the midst of worship, and all of a sudden a man fell on the floor. When they tried to help him, he began to scream and become combative. And I am struggling in my mind in that moment. Is this the direction that this service is going? What is happening? I felt an element of confusion. I felt an element of disdain. And when I feel that, I tap back into a place of worship and I create an altar right where I am, because God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. So the angel has to reiterate to him. In that moment, Gideon is comfortable enough to ask the angel, God, if you're really for us, if I really am who you say I am, and the words you're declaring over me as a brave man, yet you see me hiding here in apprehension behind the well by this oak tree, threshing some wheat, fearful, anxious. If your word is really true, he goes, then where are all the miracles? Why have you forsaken us, God? Do you not understand that this nation was founded on godly principles? And we start blaming God for a lack of a move of the Spirit because we say he's all powerful. But ladies and gentlemen, he needs a pipeline that is positioned in peace through which he can do his miraculous. And the kingdom has shifted in the last 168 hours with the death of the greatest evangelist probably that has ever stepped on this planet. God spoke to a prophet years ago at the death of Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. I will shift. I will bring a new move of God. I'm trying to help you today to position your life in a place of peace that you can be the recipient and the pipeline through which God wants to move. The Lord looked back at Gideon again and says this. He doesn't answer his questions. He doesn't give him a blueprint for the future. He simply says, go in this might. What I'm going to declare will be the strength that will take you through all of these issues. The Lord is with you and his peace. Because if the Lord is with you, then there's peace. There's power. There's strength. There's faith. There's courage. If the Lord is with you, then all of those elements come as an addendum to who he is, because that's his character. Gideon asks one more question, because the fear in his life and the apprehension in his life goes really deep. And he says this, how can I be these things when I am the least in my father's house of Manasseh? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. There is none greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. Can I tell you, stop disqualifying yourself because you've been told all your life that you won't amount to anything, or you evaluate your life and say, I'm just the least of the individuals. If you're the least, God said you're greater than John the Baptist, who stepped in the middle of a dispensation and preached grace before Calvary, preached mercy before death, preached resurrection. It was John the Baptist that said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. And Jesus had barely initiated his ministry. Stop making excuses for inadequacy when God has given us everything that we need to be strong, to do exploits, to walk in the anointing. When there is no peace, it is difficult to receive the word of God. Gideon is diminishing the power of the word by allowing his circumstances to dominate his thoughts. He says, where are the miracles? Why have you forsaken us? Okay, you're going to be with us, but you don't understand. I'm the least in my father's house. Verse 16, this is the response of heaven. Surely God will be with you. It's not how, but it's who. Who you have is more important than what you have. You may not feel like you have the weapons or the ingredients, but if you have Him, if you have Jesus, there is no demon, there is no trial, there is no storm, there is no adversity, there is no struggle that He will not carry you through. If He is with you, then you are successful. If He is with you, then you can have peace. If He is with you, then you can conquer anything. Gideon, I love the transformation because he prepares an offering and he says to the angel, if this was really from God, stay right where you are because I need, don't go anywhere. Hey, no, don't go anywhere. You're gonna stay there. I'm not moving. If you move, I'm not. And the angel stays there and Gideon goes and he prepares an offering. He gets a goat and he gets an ephah of flour and makes unleavened bread, which are the ingredients of the peace offering from Leviticus. He's beginning to believe, but he needs to create an offering. And he brings the goat. Why a goat? Because a goat has pushing power. A goat has the ability with its horns to break through anything. He makes unleavened bread because the whole essence of unleavened bread is my life is flat, it's tasteless, it's out of order. And so he's making an offering and saying to God, I believe in this offering that the power of the blood of this goat can break through my tasteless, lifeless moment where I'm struggling. And he takes the offering, and here is a wonderful scripture. He lays it upon a rock. When he lays it upon a rock, something that has strength, something that is immovable, fire consumes the offering. Gideon's mentality is beginning to change. But do you know where he gave the offering? By the oak tree, by the tree where he was hiding, whose resin would create a liquid that could thin and dilute anything. He said, I'm going to take my offering because I need the peace of God, and I'm going to believe the word that the prophet said, and I'm going to believe the word that the angel brought, that God is with me, I don't have to be afraid. And I'm going to offer this peace offering right where the enemy tries to delude my faith, challenge my experience, take authority over my life. I'm going to offer it right there in the devil's face. And the fire of God comes up out and he creates a holy place in the midst of the place that created apprehension and anxiety in his life. Help me, somebody, worship him before I just run across the top of a chair. Oh, you need to take a praise break. Somebody give me a praise for 5 seconds. Just help me a little bit. Just help me a little bit. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit in this house. Gideon laid his offering on that rock. That wasn't all. He builds another altar. I've never seen a man in the Old Testament that within a time frame, he builds so many altars. Can I tell you, if you want the peace of God, build an altar. Build it in your home. Build it in your car. Build it on break at the job. Build it this morning, but build an altar and call on the God who is Jehovah Shalom. He built an altar and he offered an offering to God. And all of a sudden, when fire came out of that rock, Gideon is being taken from one level of experience. He knows who God is. He knows that God brought his forefathers out of Egypt with miracles, but now he has come, and the Bible says this, face to face. Can I tell you that as long as you are languishing in fear and anxiety and apprehension, and your thought process is creating turmoil and chaos because of a lack of peace, that when you begin to worship God and you begin to declare the power of the word over your mind, that God is for me, and if God be for me, who can be against me? My God loves me. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He said he'd be with me all the days of my life, when I'm good, when I'm bad, when I'm inconsistent, when I'm faithful. He said he would be with me. He said he would be there. He said he would never leave me alone. He would not just toss me out into the world and allow me to try to navigate it with my own ingenuity and talent and intellect. When you begin to draw close to him and you believe what he said, that he is the author of peace, all of a sudden Gideon has a new experience with God. Now he's gone from a religious church member, which comes periodically, to now he's met God face to face, and now his everyday life is changing. He still is not aware of the cataclysmic influence that he will have to the Amalekites, to the Midianites, how God will use him. The Bible says he perceived that the angel was of the Lord. The word Lord there is Adonai, master, ruler, and now he's in this new relationship and he's afraid. But do you know what the Lord says to him? Do you know what God does? God says to Gideon, peace be unto you. He's not revealing to Gideon yet how he will take a pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet, and 300 men, and defeat the army of Midian. Do you know why? God can't give you the next step, my friend, if you're still anxious and chaotic in your thinking. But when you get the peace of God and you understand, he is with me. My God is with me. My Savior, who died for me and died as me, is with me. Then you are ready for the next assignment. Then you have the courage. Then you have the faith. Then you have the strength to move into your destiny and accomplish whatever God calls you to do. Peace brings you strength to do what God has asked. Your future holds greatness, but you need peace in your thoughts for clarity, for focus, and for determination. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. When you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, the peace of God is available.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Join us online every Sunday and Wednesday for our streaming services. You can follow us on Twitter at New Life Sullivan or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Life Sullivan.